Well, welcome to Calvary Bible Church on what is, I suppose it's not ordinary to say, or it is out of the ordinary to say, it is a historic occasion today. Not that we are making history, but something of a historic nature is happening this morning. And we are thankful that all of you are here to be a part of it with us. After about 30 years of combined ministry, Kathy and I are retiring as a pastor. You all honored us with a very, very wonderful and special celebration last Sunday evening. We will never, never forget. Thank you so much for just a wonderful, wonderful evening together. And since much of what was said last Sunday and in recent days was focused on us and our ministry, we thought it only proper to conclude our time with you this morning by putting the focus back where it truly belongs, on our God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we wanted to play this very special arrangement of Behold Our God to center all the attention and the praise and the honor and the glory this morning upon Him. He is the one that deserves all the glory for everything that's taken place over the last many years in our ministry. We want this service not to be about us, Kathy and I. We want it to be about the Lord Jesus. We also want to focus on the new leadership team that God has brought together and commit them to the work that God has called them to do here in this place. This is a time to look ahead, look to the future, and to be encouraged and excited about what God is going to do in this church in the days ahead. Many months ago, I shared with you a verse that has comforted Kathy and I in many different circumstances throughout our lives together. And it certainly is appropriate for today. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 43, where Isaiah says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" And I certainly hope that you all do perceive that God is getting ready to do a new thing in this place. And we are looking forward to it. Trust you are as well. I want to begin our service this morning by turning to another passage in Isaiah. And I want to read for you Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. Some of the verses in this passage may seem a bit out of the ordinary to you. We don't have time to expound the meaning behind all of these words. I hope that you can see that there is a wonderful connection to what we're doing this morning and to what Isaiah is telling us here. Isaiah chapter 25, read the first 9 verses. Follow if you will, please. "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. You have made the city a heap and fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. You have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, a shade from the heat. for the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. You subdue the noise of foreigners as heat by the shade of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is put down. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow, aged wine well-refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Let's bow our heads and let us. We come to you this morning with joy in our hearts, Heavenly Father, at the opportunity to worship you once again. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the salvation that you have provided for us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness and your goodness to us as a body of believers through the past many years. Thank you, Father, that through hard times and difficulties of various sorts, you have seen fit to maintain this ministry and to keep its focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as significant changes take place beginning today, that focus on the person of the Lord Jesus and the truth of your word would never change, that would become the heart and the centerpiece of everything that continues to be done until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Thank you, Father, for raising up new leaders, for leading us to this place today where a transition is taking place that has been so easy and so clearly in the center of your will. Thank you for that, Father. I pray for Keith and for Cindy that you would bless them in untold ways, Heavenly Father, as they assume the mantle of responsibility for pastorate of this place. I pray, Father, that you would use them in a mighty way to reach out to the people of this community so that many will come to know Christ the Savior, and believers will be strengthened and built up and brought to maturity in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the team that will be working with them, for Pastor Lee, for Andrew, for Dan, for Elijah, for the elders that will be working with them, for others who will be assuming various parts of this ministry, Father. This is a team effort, but you are the head. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you would always be honored and recognized as the head, and that we would always give you the praise, glory, the honor that you deserve. Bless, I pray, this service this morning, Father. May it be an encouragement to all of us who are here, and may it truly set a pattern, set the course for the future as we continue to focus upon you, upon the Lord Jesus, upon your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This came faster than I thought. I just have to say some things that are not very serious just to calm me down. So, first of all, I basically have written five speeches, drafts of what I wanted to say today. I'm down to two choices. I'll pick one. to God and Dale back to God. So that's what our body does. This is me speaking. My passion is people, and you, dear friends, are my people. You were in my heart, daily on my mind, and prayed for throughout the week. I love you and admire you. I am blessed to see you on Sundays. I appreciate who you are and what you do to serve and enjoy our body at Calvary. I love seeing you interacting with each other as adults and with the children you teach in the classroom or by your life. I know you to be compassionate, kind, giving people. You serve the Lord as you serve each other. You have been loving friends to Chris and me throughout the years together at Calvary. You have time and time again encouraged us by your words and through your acts of kindness. You check up on us to make sure we are okay. You listen to our personal concerns and you pray for us. We will miss being together with you each week, but you are in our hearts today. In closing, as Chris always says, in a conversation with Cindy in her office just recently, I asked her if she and Keith were excited about their future at Calvary. With her sweet, enthusiastic smile, she said, "We are so excited. We are talking and planning. The best part of us is working together." Who could ask for a more encouraging reply? We are excited for them and for you. Love, encourage them in their new ministry as your pastor, as you have always done towards us. A verse that I've used a lot recently says, "Look, see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in you that you would not," I didn't write that part, "that you would not have expected had I told you." I'm taking a little liberty here. Chris handed me a bunch of cards that he had at church and brought home. And I do need a tissue.
Here.
Okay. Thanks, Gwen.
Always be prepared.
The first card I opened up and read was written Sunday, June 4th, 2000, to my beloved pastor. When we were married 33 years ago and said these words to each other, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to death do us part, we made a commitment for a lifetime. 30 of those years have probably offered us the greatest opportunity to test that commitment to each other and to the Lord. I thank the Lord for every day of my life with you. Over these 30 years, we have often struggled with the thought of leaving or staying. Today, as I was praying, I asked the Lord to never allow us to make that choice, but that we would be certain beyond any doubt of His choice for our lives. Even with the numerous tests of time, I have loved the opportunities we have been given to minister in three different churches, each bringing to us the for better or worse part of our commitment to each other, and I guess to the richer and poorer part also. Today, I read it in 1 Corinthians 3:5. We are only servants, as the Lord has assigned us to each His task. But only God makes things grow. We can do our part as best we can and then let God bring the growth and completion of that work as He chooses. Thank you for teaching me the Word of God. I can't imagine hearing it from anyone else or anyone better for these listening and hungry ears. I love you, my darling. You are the best gift to my heart. We have been entrusted with the very words of God. That's it. I love you. I'll send you some of the other drafts. just make sure I get that.
Well, I always say that Kathy should have been the preacher in our family. She's always got some wonderful things to say. What she didn't tell you, and perhaps a lot of you do not know, is that tomorrow is our 52nd wedding anniversary. Thank you. So, I don't know what to do as a wedding anniversary surprise tomorrow. What can top this wonderful day? But we'll figure out something, I suppose. When we first started thinking about this last day together, we really wanted to use this opportunity to thank a lot of people who have made this ministry possible. As Kathy mentioned a moment ago, we didn't want to name specifically, but really kind of think about different activities and different events and different groups of people that have been so special to us while we've been here at Calvary. And I came up with a list of about 10 things. Kathy was going to take 5 of them to talk about, and I was going to take the other 5, and somewhere along the way it just kind of didn't quite develop the way we had thought. So I just want to share a couple of brief things with you for a minute or two. There are a couple of areas that I truly am thankful for as I look back upon my time here with you. First of all, I am so grateful for the emphasis that you folks have allowed in this church to keep Christ in the center of every bit of our ministry, and to include in that a real Christ-centered worship, including giving me the freedom to preach for about 35 or 40 minutes every Sunday morning. I was talking to an old friend just this week, a couple of days ago. They were new to a new home, and a neighbor came up to them not too long after they moved in and said, "Well, we'd love to have you come to our church. Our pastor preaches for about 15 minutes every Sunday." As if that's some kind of badge of honor for a pastor to only preach for 15 minutes. Needless to say, they didn't go to that church. Real worship has not always been a part of Calvary Bible Church. But in the last, 8 or 10 years or so, we've experienced some real changes in the area of worship. And I believe now we have some very exciting and dynamic worship services with the Lord Jesus Christ at the very center. I was reading an article written about John MacArthur this week. He makes this comment: "The whole church service should revolve around the ministry of the word. Everything else is either preparatory to or a response to the exposition of Scripture." That's always been our philosophy, that the Scriptures, the teaching of the Word of God, is front and center in this service. And everything else we do either leads us to a study of the Word or is our response to what the Word has taught us. And I believe that's biblical. That's the way it ought to be. And I trust that kind of worship will will certainly continue. Let me say something very personal right now. Don't take this the wrong way, anybody. But please, don't completely give up on the old hymns. There is a lot of rich theology in the older hymns. They are so instructive for our Christian life. They are God-centered and Christ-centered. And I know things are changing and will continue to change, but I trust that you will not totally give up on the hymns. They need to be a part of your worship. I'm thankful that they are in our worship services. Secondly, I am very grateful and thankful that over the years we have experienced a real unity in this body. I think as a church we have been as free from dissension and division as any church could possibly be. It's been very, very seldom that there's been an issue that has really threatened to divide this church. There, some people have left for different reasons. That's to be expected. It's always going to happen. But for the most part, we have maintained a unity among ourselves that really is of the Holy Spirit and is not common in a lot of churches today. I talk to other pastors. I read things. I know what's going on. A lot of churches are racked with dissension these days. People often comment after they've maybe attended one of our congregational meetings, and they say, "Wow, you should have been at the meeting I was at 2 weeks ago. Our church was crazy. Everybody was just going nuts." We've never had anything like that. There has been just an amazing unity in our body, and that's of the Lord and His Holy Spirit. I commend to you Philippians 1:27, where Paul says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Trust that will always characterize Calvary Bible Church. Third, I have to say, and I really can't even say enough, about the godly group of men that God has given to our church who serve as your elders. They are a special, special group of men. They are godly men. They are serious about the work that God has called them to. They are selfless. They are humble. They are fearless in the face of the enemy. And they know the Word of God. And they can communicate God's word. They know the word of God, and they see that the word of God is implemented in everything that we do here in a church. We have taken strides in recent years to assure that the men who are appointed to the elders are men who meet the biblical qualifications, not the not the most popular guys, perhaps, not the business leaders in the community, but the men whom God says have the qualifications to serve as elders. And we've taken that seriously, and God has given us a great, great group of men. We have been called upon to deal with some difficult situations in the past. We have had times where it's been our responsibility to exercise church discipline, and we have done it. That in itself is unusual in the church today. We have counseled with people who are in need, counseled with people who are struggling with all kinds of other issues, and these men have given themselves tirelessly and sacrificially to the work that God has called them to do. And you ought to thank the Lord for this group of men and commend them and honor them and submit to them. They're looking out for you. They're concerned about your spiritual welfare above everything else. And you need to pray for them and honor them because of that. In addition, I need to say something about another group in our church, and that's our deacons, who don't really quite get the same recognition as the elders do, and I think in some ways for a good reason, biblical reasons. But again, God has raised up a group of deacons here in our church that I think are extraordinary. They do a lot of work that we don't even know about, a lot of behind-the-scenes work, doing things that just need to get done, and they're responsible, and they do it. And we could not really get along without the work that the deacons are doing. You know clearly that based upon Acts chapter 6 and other places in the Word of God, that there's a clear division of responsibility between elders and deacons. God designed it that way. And in order for the elders to be able to do all that God has called them to do, which is basically the Word of God and prayer, God raised up the deacons to basically do a lot of the other stuff that needs to get done. And you need to also thank them and commend them for the work that they are doing in our church. A lot of people, a lot of ministries working together in order to do everything that's been done here over the past many, many years. I don't have time to even begin to talk about all of that. A short while ago, I began reading from Luke chapter 24, just thinking about what was going on here in this very significant passage of God's Word. Luke 24, this is right after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it's toward the end of that first Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And verse 13 says, that very day, two of the disciples of Jesus, not the 12, but other disciples, followers of Jesus, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they're talking with each other about what was going on in Jerusalem at that time. And discussing the events of the past couple of days, the death of this one that they thought was the Messiah, and then his subsequent resurrection. And as they're walking along, someone kind of just joins in the conversation. And it's very interesting. I think it's really kind of humorous where the man who joins the conversation says, well, you know, what's been going on? What's happening in Jerusalem? And one of the disciples says, you don't know? Are you the only person around here who has no idea what's going on in Jerusalem right now? Where have you been? Basically is what he's saying. And so they talked and went on for a little bit more. And finally, Jesus, who's the third party in this conversation now, says to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus kind of gets back to them, says, well, if you had read the prophets, you would have known what was going on in Jerusalem. How could you not know what was happening and the meaning of it? He says, you foolish ones, who have not read the prophets, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? This was all foretold. You should have known this. And then it says in verse 27, and beginning with Moses, the old Pentateuch, and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so for the next little bit, you have this an amazing conversation between Jesus and these two disciples, two followers of Jesus, as Jesus begins to give them a personal Bible study, beginning with Moses and going on through the prophets, all the things that the Old Testament writers said concerning Jesus himself. Can you imagine being a part of that conversation as Jesus explained all these things? And what struck me about this is, of course, exactly where Jesus ended. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That needs to be the emphasis and the heart and the centerpiece of this ministry. It's got to center on all the things that Jesus has done and is doing in our world today. Jesus has got to be kept at the very center of all of your thinking, your study, your prayer life, your relationships, your conversation with one another, your worship here, your service for the Lord. It's all got to be done in the name of Jesus and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your heart to begin with. He needs to be the centerpiece. And of course you know that, and we've tried to do that, and I just want to encourage you to make certain that that, again, never, never changes. This ministry is built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his truth. And let that never, never change. I can't thank you enough for allowing me to spend almost 30 years here as your pastor. Seems hard to believe. And of course, it wasn't the last 30 years, but it's been 30 years since 1970. Can you imagine that? Bruce Frisbee was here in 1970. Gloria Wolbert was here in 1970. And Joan Ashcroft. It's been a long time. And when we left after 12 years in about 1982, never thought we'd ever come back again. But you people are not too smart. And 2001, you asked us to come back again. And we are so thankful that you did, because this has been a great place to conclude our ministry. We are the Alpha and Omega of Calvary Bible Church, the beginning and the end, at least from our perspective. Thank you for all that you have meant to us, all the ways that you have met our needs and encouraged us, the way you've allowed God to use you in his service, the way you have grown, and I just know it's going to continue, and it's going to become better and better as Keith assumes responsibility for this ministry. We hope that some of you will come and visit us from time to time. If you don't know how to get there, it's very easy. Just follow the road to Emmaus, and you'll find us. Thank you.